would have been better had I given this vad first, and then, well, we spoke about last night. But since the way the days work and the kriyas haluach, so it had to be the other way around. So why should it be today? Because today I want to give you an introduction, bichlal, to the vadi and the shmuzim, and really to explain, introduce myself to you, explain where I'm coming from, and what we're going to be doing in the Vadim and the Shmuzim, and how you can get a Toelis for it, what you should do to get a Toelis. So first of all, I want to tell you that I was zoiche to learn by two prime rebbeim, other rebbeim as well, but the two prime rebbeim in Yonei Musa, what we're talking about here, not talking about in Gemara, that's Hashem, other rebbeim, that in Yonei Musa, Ike, I learned by Reb Shlomo Brechter, and Reb Shlomo Volk, so to the, you should get a little idea where I'm coming from. Reb Shlomo Brechter was an American, and he came to when the Amir, Yeshiva's Amir, came to America from Shanghai. He went to one of his rebbeim. He just finished high school. One of his rebbeim convinced him that he should go and daven Rosh Hashanah in the yeshiva in Mir. Now, the Mir, they had just come through the whole war, all the nisim that they'd experienced. If you know anything about the whole story, it's been written up, the story. They had published Meridika Nisim. It's very good eye to read it. Read the whole story of how they went through the war and how they went through Europe, all the various Nisim that happened. And they came to America then, that Elul, after the war. And these were people who were mamash, Dargus El Yoinus Admaoid. Many of them had lost their whole families during the Holocaust. It was not a poshta matzah. And through everything they'd gone through, and now they came to America, and basically the war had finished, and if you like, a certain level of freedom. They weren't Meshubit, they were in Japan, and then they were in Shanghai, the kids. So the davening was an unbelievable davening. He was very, very disfall from the davening. And he and another three or four American Bokhrim applied to get in, so they should accept them into the yeshiva. Now, all these, but they didn't have any first year Bokhrim. These were at least 5 years. No Bokhrim joined near a yeshiva during the Holocaust. They were at least 5 years older than them. And that's what happened. They accepted these four or five American Bokhrim. They made a special shir for them. And the Mashgiach there, who basically led the whole yeshiva through the war, was Reb Chatzkel Levinstein. And Reb Shlomo told us that they wanted him to say a vad for them, and at the beginning he refused, and eventually he did start saying a vad for them. And first vad he says to them, "I've never taught Aleph Beis in my life." It was that, you have to understand, biyachas to these gdolei olam, these mira bochrim who've been through the war, these American Yankee doodles who just come out of high school and from America. Difference in Yoga of the Lila. And but eventually he did start giving him a fad, and Reb Shlomo got very close to Reb Chatzkel. And then Reb Chatzkel was in America for a couple of years, and then he left, and he came to Eretz Yisrael. He left very suddenly. I mean, he'd prepared it, but he didn't tell anybody, and then he left. And then Reb Shlomo went to learn in Lakewood, and then the Baron just beginning of Lakewood Yeshiva started. And then he came to Eretz Yisrael, came to Reb Chatzkel in Eretz Yisrael, and he got married here to an Israeli lady, Yehuda Ben Chaim Chaim Rebetzin, and he got into, for various reasons, he got in very much into the Torah of the Gro, and he got very, very into it, very deeply into it, and he got worked on the Kisvei Yad, and he got all the Kisvei Yad of the Gro, and the Tfus Rishonim, and he put out a few Sfarim of the Bio HaGro, of he had to put on the Bia Gro on Yoino, the Bia Gro on Shiras Chana, and then he started working on the Bia HaGro of Shiras Shirim, and he showed as a Messiah that everything that the Gro wrote as a Messiah, there's a Makar in Chazal. So he goes through one of his pirushim on the Pirush HaGro is to find the Makairus of every single thing that God wrote in Chazal. Then he also has another part of the Pirush is to expand from what the Gro is saying here and to show you that God says a similar idea somewhere else, so you have a broader understanding of it. Bekitza, he then got sick and eventually ended up in England, because he needed to go to a certain special doctor, and he ended up in England, and he started saying Shmuzen in England, and then it was a tkufa that I was in England, and that's when I got to looking for a Shmuz. So I went to his Shmuz, some of my friends have been going, and I got to know him. I was very despoiled. Now you should realize, Reb Shlomo's Shmuz, when I say Reb Shlomo, I mean Reb Shlomo Brevda. Remember, it gets a bit confusing, but I'll tell you in a second. Reb Shlomo's Shmuz was at least 2.5 hours. So, some people think that I'm a Marich. I'm not a Marich. Klapehim, I don't give you a 2.5 hour Shmuz. And you had to know the Klal, because he gave the Shmuz. And always, half an hour before the end, he used to say, and to sum up everything, and if you're the first time you came to the Shmuz, and you've got 2 hours, oh, finally it's finished, right? There's another half an hour afterwards. Always, it was a cloud bottle. So, but he was a brilliant speaker, and it was not hard to listen. And the jokes were very, the mises, and he was... And a lot of people went for the jokes and the mices and didn't chap. There was actually a whole Shlichut Torah which was going on. So anyway, that was Reb Shlomo Brevda. Later years, I came to Eretz Yisrael when I was married, and I actually started learning in Nevada. I'll tell you a bit about that soon. The Rosh Yeshiva Zichrono Livracha of Nevada was a koilel, but. He was a Talmid of the Altar for Nevada. He knew the Altar for Nevada. He was 18 when the Altar was Nifter. He was learning in Nevada before. And then a bit later on, so Reb Shlomo Volber, who was the Mashgiach in a yeshiva called Be'er Yaakov, which is near Rehovot, resigned his Mashgichus there and came to Yerushalayim, and he started saying Shmuzen in Yerushalayim, started saying Shmuzen near Yeshiva, and then they started the Yeshiva branch of Lakewood called Lakewood East, they started that yeshiva, and he was the Rosh Shiva of that yeshiva was his son-in-law, and for the first year or two he became the Mashgiach of that yeshiva, and then he continued saying shmuz in there, but he stopped being the Mashgiach of the yeshiva. Many the Talmidim of Rav Shlomo Volbe, they call him the Mashgiach, because he was mamash, like the Mashgiach of the Dar. So when I quote him, I quote to him as the Mashgiach. When I quote Rav Shlomo Brevda, I quote him as Rav Shlomo. Some people get a bit confused, but you should get used to it. So the Mashgiach wrote a sefer called Ali Shar. There are two chalokim of Ali Shar. He had other few svarim which he put out. But Ali Shar is basically his vadim, which he had in Bei Yaakov. And for its kufa, I heard the Mashgiach 5 times a week because I wanted to get to understanding. He was not a poshta person to understand. So once one of the tzaddiki Yerushalayim, I went to speak to us, very choshen yid here in Yerushalayim, and he asked me who my rebbeim was. So I told him Reb Shlomo Brevda and Reb Shlomo Volbe. So he said to me, it was a Yiddish. He said, "Ah, zwei Shlomes mach Shlemus. Two Shlomes make Shlemus." Which, as far as I was concerned, it definitely had. They were mashlim each other. I also learned in Nevada, as I told you. And there, they were mechadish something very interesting in Nevada. In Europe, in Nevada, they had the Spitz time of the yeshiva in Europe. Nevada had 40 branches. They used to send out, they were very big in Harpat Sestari, they used to send out, the altar sent out Bochrim and Avreichim to go and make yeshivas all over the place. Some yeshivas really high schools, some yeshiva katanas, and yeshivas all over the place. So they had, at the end, they had 40 branches. But they used to have the thing that all the Rosh Yeshivas, all these Bochrim or whatever, came back to the main branch, which actually, for most of the time, was not in Nevada. It started in Nevada, but then it moved to a town called Bialystok. But anyway, so every Erev Rosh Chodesh, they came back, and the altar gave shmooze to all the Rosh Yeshivas, and then they went back to their various yeshivas and took those ideas and worked on that for that month, and then they came back and for the Vat Kloni on Erev Rosh Chodesh, every month they came back. So when we were that they, the Alta Nevadokers in Yerushalayim, decided they wanted to be mechadish the idea of a Vat Kloni, and they had in the Koinol. Before Mincha, they came, all these big tzaddikim, one was a bigger tzaddik than the next, one was Alta Nevada Katalmidim, and they had a Vad Kloli, and the thing, each time, another guy sent a shmuz. And it was very, very interesting, because the shmuz that they said, all the guys in the Koinel were bored stiff. We much could not appreciate the way they gave the shmuz. They gave the shmuz like it used to be in the before the war. It was very emotional. It was very. I'll give you a dogma of one shmuz which I remember very clearly. It was in Yiddish, but I'll tell it to you in English because you don't understand Yiddish. So this yid stood up and had a massive tzaddik. Okay? So he said, the Mishnah says that Akina via Taiva via Kovoid is Motzias Adam in Oilam. And then Rabbi Sol Salanta was Medayek, that it says Motzias Ha Adam, the mensch, the most choshem mensch, min Ha Oilam, from Oilam Azeh and Oilam Abba. Noira, ay, 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 ay. Just imagine, a shtikl taivo, a crumb of kovet, is vos. is Moichin, throws you out. From where? Min ha'elam, from Elam Abba. Ay, 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 ay. But who does he throw out? Aposh the mensch. Hey. Ha'odom, the gobel ador, the gress the mensch. Abriyasul taiva. Ashtikul kovet. Ay, 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 ay. Ay, 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 ay. Ay, 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 abisul kovet. Is vos. Is my sin. It might seem as hard. And that was the schmooze. That went on for half an hour. And we're all looking at ourselves, and the guys in the koinel, and you know, okay, we had to be there. And then the mincha afterwards went on for, you know, till Meir of time came out, not quite. And the altar of Vada, because we were sitting there, shuckling, and they were in the oil of Mosonian. It was a whole different mahalach, which... So to us in Tonga, certainly to me it didn't talk. Now, the Rosh Yeshiva Zichron Livracha, Rabbi Tzion Brook, he gave a shmooze on Friday night between Kabbalah Shabbos and Ma'ariv, and then he gave another shmooze on Motzi Shabbos before Ma'ariv or Motzi Shabbos. That was a more built shmooze, more that spoke to us. But in Elul, that's something very interesting that people remember, I'm talking about 50 years ago, that the people used to come from the whole Yerushalayim in Elul for his shmooze. And it started at Shkia time, Motzi Shabbos, and then when it became Motzi Shabbos, they turned the lights off. The basement was packed, there were about 500 people there. And then he started what's called his Soyrus. And he would start with Mashalim, and he'd speak in the Hesped Nigan, and start trying to be Ma'ir the Olam, the Rosh Hashanah's coming, and Yom Adin, and Elul, and the Pachad, and all these things. And he would go every few minutes, it would lead up to something to get the whole Tzibur to say, like, Ovin, O Malkeinu, Hashiveinu, Bisheshuva Shleima Lefanecha. And everybody screamed out a thing, and then it would go quiet again. It was all in the dark, right? You go quiet, and then you'd hear, Ay, and it'd start, and another marshal, and another marshal, and it led up. So it was called his service, and it went on for about half an hour, and the mire was in the dark. Until it came to Shmuel Esau, his blemish, the mire was, it's a pena that the roof didn't fall off the, fly off the thing. Blemish, very, very sharp. He was a tremendous Isaurus, but when I went home, I didn't feel I had anything to take with me. You know, it was an emotional experience and very stark, but I didn't feel I had what to take with me. Reb Shlomo Brevda and Reb Shlomo Volbe's shmuzim were very, very different. They were shtikul Torah. They were chidushim. They were chazalim. There was yusoidus. It was a whole shtikul Torah, and you had what to think about. And the Mashgiach, Reb Shlomo Volbe, used to say, "Binyan, we have to build ourselves. We're here to build ourselves. We build ourselves through his boinonus." The same Shairish, Binyan and his boinemus, right? By thinking through and learning Chazal. The Psukim say in a few places, we had it yesterday by the Melech, Leman Til Medula Yira. You have to learn Yira. Yira is not an automatic thing. And the old days, that's the Nevadakim Mahalach, was to speak to the emotions and speak straight to the lave and to be more of the lave. We don't have it. So we have to speak to the seichel and be more of the seichel and derech the seichel and until medula yira. The Batanura explains a very interesting thing. The Messiah of the Torah, Moshe kibul Torah Misinai Masara. Where should that Mishnah be? Lechora, it should be at the beginning of Brachas. That is telling us that Torah came min Hashamayim, and Torah Shebal Peh was also from Hashem Yisbarach. Where is that Mishnah? In Ovis. Says the Batanura, why is the Mishnah, why did Rebbe put the Mesorah of Torah in Ovis? He says, because it's poshut that Mesechta's Brachas and Peah v'chula, and all these Mesechta's came from Misinai. Where else could it have come from? There's no other Makar. Where do you get the idea of Krishma from? And how's the Gemara start? With Memosai, only Krishma Baleilois, and the Gemara starts Minayin. So Minayin, it means Psukim. So we know that came from Torah, that came Misinai. But it comes to the Masechta of Midas. Ovis is the Masechta of Midas. You may think that, when it comes to Midas and ethics and these type of ideas, maybe that Chazal made it up themselves. Maybe it's their own svaras and own ideas. That's why Rebbe put them in the Mesoira, Moshe Gibel Torah Misinai, beginning of Ovis. Ma Elu Misinai Af Elu Misinai. Now you have to know what I said yesterday, I brought you that Rashi, that you can be svaras in and svaras are there, and all sorts of ideas, and build your ashkofas and all your ideas. Minayin ata yodea shukach. We have to build our ashkofas and our ideas and avodas Hashem from Torah. And everything has to have a makar. And even though in this area, look, you're not going to be able to invent the ideas of Tzoriras from yourself. Bapitom, what's the gedder of that hezek, and what should be the tashlum of the hezek? You can't invent that yourself. You could make a system of law yourself, but you can't come along and say that's Torah. But when it comes to the ideas of Avodas Hashem, or it comes to Midas, what's a good Midah? When is it good to do this action, correct or not correct? There are a lot of people have all sorts of ideas, right? And people outside Torah have ideas of what's ethical behavior, what's not ethical behavior, v'chule v'chule. You may think that that a ben Torah should also do that, and Chazal also did that. No, Chas v'Shalom. We're here to learn Torah Hashem, and the Torah Hashem, whether it's in Kavakama, whether it's in Ovis, whether it's in ideas of Yira, whether it's in ideas of Avas Hashem, whatever we're talking about, it has to be from Torah. You can't philosophize yourself. You start philosophizing yourself, that's Avodah Zarah. I'll tell you even more. In a lot of areas of Torah, we have halacha, which defines our maisim. But very often, you want to understand the pnimius of halacha. Lemoshul, you are moshul. How do you want to daven? To pray to God. Well, a lot of goyim have their ideas how you should pray to God. And who said it's right? Should you? How many times a day should you pray to God? I'll tell you a very funny maaser. I was once in a cab with the driver was a religious Muslim, an Arab religious Muslim. It was a long cab driver. Went out of the city. We had a very interesting conversation. He was telling us a lot of very interesting things about Islam. One of the things he said was that they have a medrash. Kamash Malon, they also have medrashim. He said, they have a medrash that that Muhammad went to Allah. And Allah told him, you should pray 50 times a day. And he came down, and he met Moshe. he didn't say Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the Pelet, I don't understand this medrash. I looked through a Maral, I don't understand any Hezbo in this medrash, but didn't find it anywhere. But anyway, but Kitsa, it's a very strange medrash, but this is what he said. And then the Muhammad came down and he met Moshe, and he told Moshe that Allah told him he should pray 50 times a day. And Moshe told him, that's far too much. Go back and ask Allah. So he went back to Allah and he told him, okay, so 25 times a day. Came back and he met Moshe again. And Moshe told him, 25 is still too much. So he went back to Allah and Allah told him 10 times. Came back, Moshe Rabbeinu told him it's still too much. He went back to Allah. So Allah said, okay, 5 times. Now you have to understand, if you handle with an Arab, you know, if you ever want to buy something from an Arab, don't, because it's probably stolen. But if you are, the price which they start with, that's not the price which you're meant to end up with. It's just, they always haggle, and that's the whole thing, the way they work. You know, you go in the old city, and in the old days it used to be safe to go there and buy things from the Arabs. You're an idiot, you pay the price they ask for. They assume there's going to be a back and forth. That's how their whole mentality, and that's how it seems this medrash holds. There was Muhammad bargaining with Allah. So he came back and he told him 5 times. And Moshe told him, that's still too much. And he said, I'm not going back again. So then this guy was telling us, he said, you're too old fashioned. You only daven 3 times a day, and Allah wants you to daven 5 times a day. The kid said, I didn't want to start up with him and start arguing with him, but it was just interesting. Now, what's the pshat exactly that Muhammad was tolly on Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is pushing him around? Ichmeis, Muhammad is supposed to be the Avi Hanavim, that's what they claim. On the other hand, they say that the only Novi who spoke directly to Hashem was Moshe Rabbeinu. So, you know, you no need to break your head, and there are more important things to break your head on. I'll call upon him. So, how do you know you should pray 3 times a day? And what should you do? Should you do what the Arabs do? You know, take your carpet and kneel down and bow down and stand up and do all these fun, interesting emotions and a thing? Or should you daven like a Christian once a week, you know, and stand there like this and thing? How should you daven? And what should you say? Prayer. Why can't I work it out myself? Teretz is, what Aliba de Emes, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? How can we know? Only from his Torah. His Torah, Torah Shebitzal, Torah Shebal Peh, La'or Chazal, who taught us exactly how to daven, what to say, how to stand, how to sit, v'chule v'chule. V'hu adin, every other mitzvah. Now we have a lot of very strange mitzvahs. You're used to them, but they're very strange. The moshul, you have this very funny thing that Jews do, that you take your blood pressure every morning with this black box, and you tie it on your thing, and then you put it on your head, and the thing. Well, what is it all about? The halacha is gematria kli. The halacha is the framework of our avodas Hashem. When you understand the halachas, then you have to try and understand what is the nimius of this, what's meant by all these things. You can say all the words that you're supposed to say in davening, and you don't actually get close to Hashem Yisbarach without being oived, putting an effort into your davening. Mitzvah tefillin, what does mitzvah tefillin for? What is it supposed to do for you? Mitzvah tzitzis, what's it supposed to do for you? Oh, you'll tell me, maybe you happen to know what the mitzvah tzitzis is, to remind you of all the mitzvahs. Did your tzitzis ever remind you of all the mitzvahs? Did your tzitzis ever stop you doing an aveira? Let's be honest. So then what is the point of trying to do it in a mitzvah? So we have to take the halacha, the kli, and pour into that kli the havana. And that havana has to be also al pi Torah. Not stam philosophizing and coming out with ideas. Because if it's outside the kli, it's avodah zarah. So, Nirtz Hashem, this Vat, Sunday nights, this is what I want to do, is to go through various sugyas in Avodas Hashem and try and understand them. Next week we'll try and understand what Chodesh Elul is all about and what our approach to Chodesh Elul should be. And then we'll try and understand a bit more the week after what the tzkiyas of Chodesh Elul are for. And then we'll look at a mahalach on the day of Rosh Hashanah. We're talking about the tzvilas on Motzei Shabbos, but there's also how do I go through the whole day or 2 days into Yom HaRichter of Rosh Hashanah. And then afterwards we'll have a part about Yom Kippur. So what is the pshat in Yom Kippur? Yeah, you fast. I once had a miser with another taxi driver, Yiddish taxi driver. I have a lot of taxi driver misers because it's interesting, you know, when you ever speak to these type of people. So I was in a cab on Erev Yom Kippur, and you have to realize that about 70%, 80% of the country, the friar fast on Yom Kippur. So I said to him, it was an Arab Yom Kippur, the day before Yom Kippur, I said to him, are you going to fast on Yom Kippur? So he said to me, Haraf, ma, come on. So I said, why? So he said to me, Tire, I know you have a big Torah. I don't hold of the big Torah, but Aseret HaDibrot I hold of. I hold of Aseret HaDibrot. So I said to him, but Yom Kippur's not in Aseret HaDibrot. He didn't know the Rabbeinu Sadia who says that all the mitzvahs are berubas in the Aseret HaDibrot. As if it's not in Aseret HaDibrot, I thought to myself, you know, if we haven't finished all this foreign, we've got a very big Torah. I think we'll have some type of hisnatsness in Shomai. If your whole Torah is Aseret HaDibrot, and you haven't gone through it, you don't know what it says, that's your whole Torah? 620 words, you know what it says there. The kids said, so I said to him, it's not in Aseret HaDibrot. So he said, but yeah, but in Im Ulai Asiti Mashu She'elokim La Ohev, that's what he said to me, Agavi, Shabbos is in Aseret HaDibrot, and it's Chal Shabbos, and a few others, Mistama Niuf was probably also, and I'm not sure. Anyway, the kids said, he said, Im ulai asiti mashu shalukim lahev sheislachli. So I said to him, I don't understand. Because you make a diet for 25 hours, why should he be salachli? Now, if I ask you that question, can you answer the question? What is the point of fasting on Yom Kippur? Why are we going to get mechilas amonos because we fast on Yom Kippur? You'll tell me, no, it's because of the vidui. Okay, so then, why fast? But the Torah says we have to fast, so don't get me wrong. But we have to understand these things. We have to understand our Avodas Hashem. That's going to be this month. Next month, we'll spend a few weeks looking at Talmud Torah. Why is Talmud Torah so important? Why is learning Bava Kamma? I guarantee most of what you're going to be learning about Bava Kamma will never happen to you in your life. I don't think anybody here owns any behemoths, and you're going to get into tzroyeres and be massive tzroyeres and v'chula. Not going to happen. Maybe other parts of Bava Kamma slightly you might be able to. So what's the point? Why are we learning these things? How do we get? How does it make a toilet for us? And Talmud Torah is the Ikka Kola Ikrim. That's the Yisod of our Avodah. Talmud Torah Kanei Kula. Then we'll spend a few weeks in looking how to get Simcha in learning. B'nisma v'divrei sarasecha. Torah is supposed to be m'sameach. And a lot of people, who be honest, you really enjoy learning. Some people say, I enjoy it, but I enjoy it more than anything else. How do we get there to have the Simcha in learning? Then we'll spend a few weeks looking at tefillah of davening. How can I make my davening meaningful? Come to Chanukah, we'll look at Chanukah, and the Yom Tov, Purim, Pesach, and we'll have one or two vadim on the mitzvah tefillin, so you will understand what mitzvah tefillin is all about, the mitzvah tzitzis, and in the beginning of the summer's month, We'll look at another Yom Tov, which we don't actually celebrate here in Yeshiva, called Yom Ha'atzmaut. But what's the Milas and the Chisreidas and the whole sugya going to the army, Bochum going to the army, and then Sfiras Ha'iner and Shavuos. Then we'll look at working on Midas, and that'll take us through basically till the end of this month. Hopefully, this year, I won't have to say the Vadim that I've said for the last 39 years at the end of the summer's month. That is about the 3 weeks and Tisha B'Av. Hopefully, we'll have to prepare new Vadim or the Yom Tov of Tisha B'Av, which I know nothing about. But we'll see. If not, then we'll give the old Vadim, which I've been saying. And that's going to be the first year in Yitz Hashem, the Sunday night Vadim. Wednesday I give a shmooze, Sunday night, so she gave to this week, or so Sunday or Monday he gives a shmooze at 7 o'clock. And on Wednesday I give a shmooze at 7 o'clock. If you want to get a toelis from these vadim and the shmoozen, first of all, listen. Listen to what's being said. I'm going to bring you a lot of marimakomis. I don't say things without any makar. I try, it's a sugya, I try to teach you from the koiras. Write it down. Take notes. It helps to concentrate. Shmooze, but there, a klal, it's not 2.5 hours, don't worry. But it can go for an hour. And I know it's right now, so you have a very long day, and at 7:40, then you want to have at least have some kashmirs and go and have a little supper and everything. And there I'm pluppering on and on and on till 8 o'clock, and it's terrible yisuria yoy. So I'm asking Mechila for that, but I'm trying to explain to you a sugya, and it takes time to explain the sugya. So if you write down, at least you'll have the marimakomis, and maybe you'll be cholik on me. Adrab, will you cholik on me? Adrab, come and ask. Why did I say this pshat in the Ramban? Why didn't I say a different pshat? Why can't it be like this? Why can't it be like that? That's how we grow. I'm also trying to grow. You know, the Chazanish writes the Teva of a Talmud Chochem. Well, I'm a Talmud Chochem, but he writes this: the Teva of a Talmud Chochem is Nisanek Har Beyoisa Mimesvei Mitanya Nami Hochi. Now, when somebody comes along and you say a shmuz and you say, oh, my Rebbe also told me that yisoid. It's very good. I like it. You know, that means it's mistoma emes. But when are you going to grow? When a bochum comes along and says, why did you say this? Isn't the pshat punk faken? And that makes you think, and that makes you bring out the pshat better, and that's how you get each night. So you have kashas, don't be scared. Come along and ask, and we can talk about it. That's how Yitz Hashem, we can all grow. I don't know exactly what's going to happen this year. Always in the years before, in Elul, I give another vad on Tshuva LaMaisa. Because when I was a bochum in yeshiva, I heard about doing tshuva, and it used to drive me crazy. Why? Because people say, you've got to do tshuva, you've got to do tshuva. And LaMaisa, if anything ever comes out of it, you actually change from tshuva. So we have to have a mahalach that we understand how to do tshuva levaisa. So in the last couple of years we've been saying it on Friday morning straight after davening. I don't know now what's going to be with the new seder. We'll have to work it out with the Rosh Yeshiva when we'll say this vad on tshuva levaisa. But so that's Bezras Hashem what we're going to do. And hopefully it'll be a toeles, and we'll all grow. That's the idea. I'm trying to get to speak to, I've spoken to a few of you. There's a lot of new bochurim. I don't think I'll manage to get through everybody this month, but I will try. And remember, I told you last night, when everybody came over and told me my name, it was a total waste of time. I knew why, because I never remember your names. And it takes me a long time to remember your name. Don't get upset if I don't remember your name. When you come over to me, just always remind me of who you are. And me and Sasha, we get to know each other. Okay.